This is Pastor Stuart Schneider welcoming you to a service of worship at Community Presbyterian Church in Bellefonte, Kentucky. Come, let us worship the Lord together. We have only one reading today from Matthew, the 2nd chapter, 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Hear the word of the Lord in this reading from his scripture. You know, the stories we tell ourselves during the 12 days of Christmas are so familiar and so full of wonderful childhood memories that I sometimes wonder if we hear them anymore at all. We, quote, quote, know the Christmas story from the Annunciation to Epiphany so well that it's hard to steer our concentration to the stories themselves and away from our traditions, and not to downplay it, the pressing obligations of the season. That's the problem with attaching important stories to busy times of the year. We get distracted. We need to hear these stories anew. We need to pour our attention onto these stories and drink them up again. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." Of course, the first thing we notice is that they were wise men, not kings, and not three wise men. There could have been two. There could have been 20. We say three wise men because they left three gifts, but that's not really determinant. Maybe one wise man brought all three gifts and the rest were just tourists. We don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows. Whether we're three or 30 isn't important. What is important is that something happened in the east. Babylon would be a good guess, that caused some very important and wealthy people to make an arduous journey over some very rough country. Not following a star as we always imagine it, but moving away from it. They saw the star at its rising in the east, they traveled to the west. It is Jesus which draws them, not a star. The star performs the same task as the angels in Luke's account. It merely announces. It is Jesus who draws. The story of Jesus motivates people to do things, even unpleasant, arduous things like climbing on a camel and riding some 500 miles, a journey of perhaps 50 days. That is mighty strange behavior for wise men. We need something other than curiosity to explain so long and difficult a trip. The timing of the visitations is another thing we tend to run together. We put the shepherds and the three wise men on top of the television, or we did when televisions weren't flat screens and could actually support a creche, as if they all arrived in one night. They didn't. Luke's story and Matthew's story have to be read individually, giving each one its dignity. Due to the distance traveled, the wise men must have gotten to Bethlehem a month or two after the birth. That's why we find the family in a house rather than in a manger, or in a stable rather. Time had passed, and that's important. For that time gave the travelers an opportunity for reflection. And there would have been a lot to reflect on. Think about just the mechanics of such a trip. A month or two on a camel, making maybe 20 miles a day. Lots of time to gripe and complain. Lots of time to regret a decision made perhaps in haste in Bethlehem. To go chasing after this sign in the heavens, but they didn't turn back. These wealthy and influential Babylonian astrologers were in it for the long haul. Whatever happened in Babylon was so forceful that they were convinced to willingly suffer the rigors of the trip. That's amazing to me. Before you saved me from myself by demanding that I pay attention to Sunday, many is the Sundays that I woke up, thought about going to church, rolled over and went back to sleep. These guys woke up early and got on a camel, one of the most ill-tempered beasts on the planet, and rode all day. What would motivate them to do such a thing? What could they have seen in the East? There has been a lot of nonsense written about what they might have seen in the East. Comets or alignments of planets and I don't know what all. But like the number of wise men, what they saw is not important. What is important is what they did. They inconvenienced themselves by doing a hard thing of no obvious benefit to themselves. They went to a lot of trouble, even gaining an audience with Herod, expecting to pay homage to a king, only to finally visit a child in some very unking-like circumstances. Yet despite all of that, when they found the child, they remained so unshakably convinced by what they had seen that they left a great pile of booty behind. How come? How come them to do such a thing? The story of Jesus causes people to do unexpected things if you truly hear it. If you no longer hear it, if it has become a comfortable tradition, it is powerless to move you. That's why we must discipline ourselves to hear properly. This power to move people into action, however, is not something everybody welcomes gladly. One such person was Herod. When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. Why was Herod frightened? I think I can answer that from my own experience. I used to be important, remember. When I came into a room, people took off their hats. They don't do that anymore. The last thing I would have welcomed would have been somebody more important than me coming into the room, then I'd have to take off my hat. The last thing Herod would have welcomed was Messiah, because Herod's idea of Messiah was markedly different from ours. The future Jewish Messiah to come is thought to be a human leader, physically descended from the paternal Davidic line through King David and King Solomon. He is thought to accomplish predetermined things in only one future arrival, including the unification of the tribes of Israel, the gathering of all Jews to Eretz Israel, the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem, the ushering in of a messianic age of global universal peace, and the annunciation of the world to come. Now I ask you, if you were Herod, would the report of the visitors from Babylon have sounded like good news to you? Of course he was frightened. His idea, the idea shared by all people of his time, was not of a Savior who is Jesus Christ the Lord, but of a human leader who would sweep out the bus and take over. That's why it is important to really hear the birth stories. This Jesus isn't who you would make him out to be in your traditions. He is something completely unexpected. Herod reacted to a perceived threat just as you would think that he would. He plotted. Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." It's convenient for us to think about Herod as the villain of the piece, and indeed history informs us that he was a thoroughly nasty piece of work. But that's also unimportant. As uncomfortable as it is for me to say it, Herod's role in this story is to stand in for us. Like each of us, he is quick to construct good reasons to do bad things, particularly if it can be characterized as self-defense. Herod isn't the villain of the piece, we are. Why else would we need a Savior? Each time we congratulate ourselves on what decent people we are, how righteous and high-minded, we deny our need for a Savior. Every time we confess that we have done wrong, but cage that confession around by thinking, "But not as wrong as this other guy," we slip into Herod's shoes. That discomfort you are feeling right now, I suspect, over what I just said, is why we want to domesticate this story into a tabletop crash with a non-frightening baby in a manger and a suspiciously European-looking Mary and Joseph. If we really want to hear the stories of the birth, we have to face up to our complicity in the troubled world in which we live. We need to recognize that part of Herod, which lives within each of us, we need to confess it and then move on in faith. As our announcements put it this week, the wise men followed even though it seemed foolish. They wanted to see Jesus more than they wanted to keep their treasures, more than they wanted to play it safe, and more than they feared the difficulties of the journey. The Christian faith is not a set of beliefs, but a willingness to travel, to pursue God's gentle light. Christianity is not a place to stand. I really want you to hear this. I really want you to hear this. Christianity is not a place to stand, but a direction in which to move. God invites us to follow the star. Amen. Please join with me as we affirm our faith. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. In his book, Faces of Jesus, Friedrich Buchner wrote, "Whether he was born in 4 BC or AD 6, in Bethlehem or Nazareth, whether there were multitudes of the heavenly host to him the glory of it, or just Mary and her husband, when the child was born, the whole course of human history was changed. That is the truth as unassailable as any truth. Art, music, literature, Western culture itself, with all its institutions, and Western man's whole understanding of himself and his world, it is impossible to conceive how differently things would have turned out if that birth had not happened whenever, wherever, however it did. Until we meet again, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace." And God's church said,
Amen.